It's Leadership at All Levels, now in its eighth year. Our host is Gail Launia-Lawson, Director of Corporate Partnerships and Community Relations for the Newport International Boat Show, a division of Newport Restaurant Group, where her career has focused on building decades of corporate partnerships through leadership, gratitude, and positivity. As a motivational and inspirational speaker, and as an adjunct professor at the University of Rhode Island, Salve Regina University, and Western Connecticut State University, Gail appreciates the opportunity to share business acumen and optimistic views on life. She's the author of Your Someday Is Now, What Are You Waiting For? 100% of the book sales benefit nonprofit organizations, and to date, over $50,000 has been donated to nonprofit organizations. Welcome, Gail.
Happy summer, Bruce, and it is almost concluding. Ah, but not in Newport, because we go through Columbus Day here, don't we? Don't you think?
Absolutely.
With all our events and things like that. So today's Leadership at All Levels radio show podcast focuses on the importance of networking. And we're not referring to network technology and data systems. According to Oxford Languages, networking is the action or process of interacting with others to exchange information to develop professional and social contacts. Boring.
Totally boring.
Totally boring. Okay. Today, in the terminology of our guest, Julie Brown, it's networking people, not computers. And with the I love that, networking people and not computers. So with the school year starting in a few weeks, today's topic is certainly timely. Many of our students lack confidence. They don't feel like they have something to offer. They're introverted or have never had the opportunity to network. Yet, we also have so many adults in the workplace who network to gain versus give.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As our fellow NSA board member, Sandra Long, always says, be a friend first. Be a friend first. And that is the mantra of Julie Brown. Do they ever call you Downtown Julie Brown?
Yes.
DTJB.
Yes, unfortunately, yes.
They do DTJB.
They do both, DTJB and Julie Brown. I've been Julie Brown since 2004 when I changed my name, when I got married and changed my name. And back then, we were so close to the 90s that everybody still knew it, because it's a 90s reference, you young folks, if you don't know, it's a 90s reference. The further we get away from the 90s, the less I get it every day. But it used to be a daily occurrence.
Well, I know that we have been trying to get you on the show for 6 months. 6 months. You are everywhere. You and you're so motivating. So I'm going to give a little about you.
Okay,
just
great.
Just for a minute. You can jump
I'd love
in.
To learn about
you
me.
Can, you can jump in. Okay. Julie, and this is a little from your website and then a little that we put together, but you are a motivating high energy speaker and the author of a book called This Bleep Works, a no-nonsense guide to networking your way to find more friends, more adventures, and more success. And by the way, bleep is this stuff works, except it's not stuff.
Still begins with S.
So, yeah, still begins with S. And that sells, doesn't it? That title, because you come out the gates in this book. I couldn't put it down.
Yeah. It's fun. It's a fun read. People say that, people who know me say the reading the book is like having a conversation with me, because I've written it exactly how I speak.
Well, I'm also going to tell you something. My interns wouldn't put it down.
Oh,
and they're
that's
like,
so
Gail,
great.
This has to be in class. Because in class, they read this book called Your Someday Is Now, What Are You Waiting For?
Yeah.
That's my book.
That's your book.
They want to read this stuff works. So we are making it a mandatory read for fall.
Oh,
what
that's,
do you think?
Well, I think that's wonderful.
Okay, so
I think that's
caveat's
wonderful.
Caveat's going to be we're going to have to bring you in by Zoom or in person.
Yeah, I'll come in person. So, I love little roadie.
So yeah, and you'll have so much fun with the students, but for them to pick it up and love the content is incredible. But then they went one step further. They are following you online now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is just three of them. Wait till you're in the whole class.
Yeah. Okay.
So they're following me online, and they saw that you did a segment that really resonated. Because you do, is it monthly tips, weekly tips?
So I used to do every other week tips on YouTube, and then they were professionally done with the videography crew and everything, and the COVID kind of put an end to that. Okay. So now I do more off-the-cuff Instagram reels, which I also share on LinkedIn as well.
Which is where I've seen them.
Yeah, yes. Yep. And those are super fun.
Well, you did one on... You are not a just.
Yeah.
And we say this, I'm just a student, I'm just an intern. As you would say, I'm just a panelist when you met with a woman.
Yeah. So just is our way of apologizing for where we are in our career or in our life. When we use it in emails, so how many times have you written an email and you say, I'm just emailing to check in
just
on this.
Touching
just
touching base.
Just is either an apology or you are actually turning down the importance of what you're talking about. So I always say, if you just is the four-letter word you shouldn't use. The this bleep works is not the four-letter word you shouldn't use. Just is the four-letter word you shouldn't use. Because it diminishes and it apologizes. And we should never be doing that for where we are in our career, for how young we are or how old we are or what we need to succeed. We should never be apologizing for it.
No, because we are not just.
Right, exactly.
We're not just a mom.
Exactly.
We're not just a chef or just a hostess. We are not just.
Yes.
So we are important and we have to put our shoulders back and realize that. And that's what the students loved about that. Like we're not a just. Take it out. Okay. But don't use it when you make excuses for your homework not in. So, how did this all start? Because you're so knowledgeable on building sincere, impactful connections.
Yeah. So I get asked that question a lot, and it happened very organically. So for a little bit of background, I had started my company in 2016. At that point, I had spent 17 years in the architecture, engineering, and construction industry. So a very male-dominated industry. And I was one of the most successful business developers in that industry. So bringing in new business for either the architecture firms I was working at or the construction firms I was working at. And what I realized was I was one of the most successful people, not because I knew the most about how to build a building or how to draw a house. I don't know how to do that at all. I was the most successful because I had the most relationships. And the most relationships that where people trusted me and they were invested in my success. So they wanted to see me succeed over somebody else who was less sincere or they didn't have a trusting relationship with. And that was a light bulb moment for me where I said, I'm gonna quit my job and I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna teach people how to do this because it has changed my life.
You quit your job.
I quit my job. Very, very very high paying job with all of the benefits because my husband owned his own firm. So all of the benefits were through me. And I said, I just have to bring this to the world. I have to, this is what I was meant to do. I wasn't meant to build businesses for one company. I was meant to teach everybody how they can do this at any stage of their career.
Do you remember your very first presentation, where it was?
Yes, it was at the Boston Design Center. So this is a funny story. I had started my company as a networking consultant and I was working inside of firms teaching their teams how to do it and build strategies around networks and relationships. And I had a woman that I used to work with at an architecture firm, and she was running a two-day program at the Boston Design Center. And she called me and she said, everybody keeps asking for people to talk about networking and how do you network? Would you give a keynote on it? And that was the first time anybody had ever asked me to publicly speak on networking.
This is before you left your job?
No, this was when I owned my consultancy. Okay. So my consultancy wasn't, so I'm a professional speaker now, but I wasn't then. I was a consultant. So I was going in and working with teams, telling them how to build relationships and draw strategies and things like that. More of a hands-on working with the team, not as an orator of the subject. And so that was the first time I was ever asked to speak on stage, and you had to sign up for the events because they were assigning rooms for the different sessions.
You sold out.
I sold out.
Yeah.
And then I got really scared because I was like, how many people are going to be in that room? Oh my God. Now they're looking at me as an expert. I really got to pull something together. Right. And I spent a lot of time.
So you knew ahead of time that you were sold out.
I knew ahead of time I was sold out because I had asked a couple of my girlfriends to go and be in the audience and be the faces I could look at in the audience, and they couldn't get in because it had been sold out. So then I had to call and say, could you please let my friends in because they're giving me the confidence to be in front of this crowd. And that was it. I gave that presentation and then somebody in the, a couple of people in the audience said, would you do that for this organization? And you know, as a professional speaker, that's how it happens. Yes. So it just snowballed from there. And it got to the point that I was speaking so much on networking. So that I said, I'm just going to write a book. I wrote a book. Oh my God, see how hard it is.
That's okay.
I'm going to write a book. So I wrote the book, and then that led to me having a podcast, and all of that got to me speaking on so many stages that I actually closed down the consultancy part of my business. And now I just travel the country speaking on networking.
I heard adjust again.
What did I say?
Now I just travel the country.
Oh.
How can we rephrase that?
Now I travel the country speaking. Yes. But I think sometimes just when it's in, when you're using it as an action, is like, I'm not apologizing. I'm saying this is what I do solely. So this is just what I do.
Just judged. You're just.
Yeah, it's okay. I want you to. I want people to be, because I think this is a great example of how easy it is to use the word.
Right. So. Well, there's words we pick up and we just start using.
Yeah.
And we know this too. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like.
Yeah. And I hope I'm not saying it. Oh,
I haven't heard it yet, but now I'm going to be listening for it.
You're going to judge. So in your book, I love this because it is so true. Mm. It is so true that the people we meet can change our life like nothing else.
Yeah.
For good and bad.
Yes. Yep.
Can you expand on this?
You know, I was thinking about how hard it is for some people to go to into a room of people that they don't know. And that is a very anxiety inducing event for some people. For me, it's not, but I like going into room. I also have the hindsight of knowing that I'm going to walk into a room of people I don't know and someone might change my life. So I walk into rooms with that attitude instead of being afraid that I don't know anybody. But that comes from years of networking and seeing it in action and seeing how people have changed my life. When I pull back on it, I mean, people are nervous about going into rooms. I always think about, so I'm 47. I was 24 when I met my husband. And up until that point, he was a stranger. So a stranger changed my life. It's as easy as that. Like when I met him, he was a stranger. And now my life doesn't exist without him. Like he is my partner. And that is a very intense version of what I'm trying to teach. But when you meet people over and over again who are invested in your success and you are invested in theirs and you are helping people succeed, those are people you couldn't imagine your career without them. And you will meet those people over and over and over again if you put yourself into the right rooms.
I love that. So the first networking event I ever went to, I was 25, 26, the first big one.
Mm-hmm.
Conference, 2,000 people.
Yeah, that's a big one.
I was not the speaker.
Yeah.
That came a few years later. But it was all on marketing and corporate sponsorship.
Yeah.
And I called my husband from a phone. Are you too young to know there were phones?
I mean, I was born in 76.
All right.
I still know what it was like to like pull the phone off the wall in the kitchen and drag that cord into the bathroom and shut the door so your parents couldn't hear what you're talking about.
Yes. Or in your dorm room, you would take it outside. Well, you didn't have them in dorm. You probably had cell phones by then.
I didn't have a cell phone until my senior year in college.
So I'm up in the bedroom knowing tick, 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 because you're charged by the minute.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, honey, he was my fiance. I'm like, John, I'm walking into this conference. I don't know anyone. He's like, okay, well, remember what your mother always says, which is very common, but it's to be interesting, be interested.
Yeah.
Ask everybody about themselves and don't talk about yourself at all. I'm like, I know, I love people. I can do that. And he said, but this is 2,000 people. He said, go up. When you walk into the room, start talking to people in the line.
Yep, exactly.
At the bar.
It's the easiest way to do it.
Just at the bar, talk to the people in the line.
Yes.
And then hover around the crudité table.
Yep,
the
orders, exactly.
And ask everyone about themselves.
Yep.
And there was one man there. I'm not going to say the name of the company with but he even shuffled. And he would shuffle up to people and look at their badge.
Oh, and determine.
Not a sponsor. And walk away.
Determine whether
it's. He walked away with $100,000. That was a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
But from a sponsorship. But I'm thinking, what an awful man.
Yes.
Like, what an awful way to be.
Yeah. So that is the There's a couple of
things. How not to
yes.
be.
In that story, there's a lot of great networking lessons. The first one is I always say what for everybody, introvert, extrovert, go into a networking event prepared with some dopamine-inducing questions. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter in the brain, sits in the pleasure center of our brain, and it inspires us to repeat actions and makes us happy. So you can be a magician at a networking event. You can induce a dopamine spike in the brain of the person you're talking to by asking the right questions.
So what are the right questions?
So the right questions are things that bring people to a place where they are happy or that they want to talk about. So what was your favorite? Here's a couple of my favorite ones. Like, what was your favorite vacation you ever took, or best city in the world? You know, what? And people are like, because this, you see it on their face. You actually see the dopamine on their face. They're like, oh my God, let me tell you about this trip. Like, that is the kind of conversations we want to have. So another thing is, this is a weird statistic, but 68% of all people who listen to true crime podcasts or documentaries or shows are women. So a lot of times if I'm in an event, I'll be like, do you listen to true crime podcasts? Oh my God. They'll say, what's your favorite? What's your favorite? What are you listening to right now? And so—
Do you listen to true crime?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah, when I'm running by myself favorite? In the morning.
Do you know that's a really high risk time too?
I run with a dog. Not when you run with a dog. Statistics show you won't get kidnapped if you have a dog.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your favorite podcast?
So I have a couple. So I listen to this podcast called True Crime Obsessed, and it's literally a comedy podcast that it's two very funny people who they sort of watch true crime documentaries and then make commentary on it.
Okay.
And so that's really funny. But
so
then
it saves you the time of watching.
Watching them. Okay. I know all about it. But then there are the long form ones, which are like Serial. People always know Serial. That was sort of the original long form. The one on Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos called
I didn't think it was true crime.
The Dropout?
Well, I shouldn't say read. I listened to that whole podcast.
Yeah, called The Dropout.
And it's when they were putting them up weekly.
Yep.
Not when it was all completed.
Yes.
So I had to
You were
wait.
Waiting. Yes.
No, it yeah. was so good to
So
wait,
that
though.
Is true crime because that was, she's in jail. So obviously their crimes were committed. So again, I just want to say case in point, you and I just went on a complete tangent about true crime because dopamine is surging in our brains right now. And we just want to talk about it.
And I know we can't continue on that. Yeah. But I want to talk about it later.
So these are the kinds of questions. So I always tell people to arm yourself with dopamine-inducing questions when you go in. And not everyone is going to hit. I might ask somebody, do you listen to true crime? No, I find that absurd. I find that morbid. Okay, here, next question. What do you not find absurd or morbid? What do you like to listen to? Like, what are you binging on Netflix right now or Hulu or Amazon Prime or whatever? You know, what has your attention? Yeah.
Have you ever asked every question you have with no luck?
No,
person.
No. I was on a business lunch with a gentleman that I was like, wow, I'm not going to get anything out of this. And then I pulled out my question. I said, okay, well, what was your favorite trip you ever took? And his eyes lit up. And he said, oh, it was when I went on a solo trip with my son. And he said, we weren't getting along. He was like 17. He was in that age where nothing I do is right. And he was almost independent, almost out of the house. And they went on a solo trip to Europe. And he said, it changed our entire relationship. And then I said, okay, well, tell me more about your relationship now. Because it had been years. And what does your son do? And just learn. And like just one thread is all I need to learn everything about somebody. Yeah.
I love that. What is your favorite vacation?
So I have two.
Okay.
So my favorite vacation I've ever taken was I went to South Africa. Right.
And you bungee jumped.
And I bungee jumped off the Victoria Falls Bridge, but I also went
with a friend.
With a friend that I met through networking.
That was in one of your.
Yep. But I also went shark diving, great white shark diving in the cage. And I went, in the cage. Mm-hmm. Yep. With that,
I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
Deadpan right now.
Yeah. No, in the cage. It was the single coolest thing I've ever done.
Come up to
the shark bites the cage just because they're just throwing fish heads and chum everywhere. You literally come out of the water, you're covered in chum and fish bits.
So where do they tell you to stand? So
you're in the cage. So the cage has, it's double layered.
Okay.
So you can have your hands on the bar in the cage and your feet on the bar in the cage. And then there's another layer of cage outside of you. If you were a real like idiot, you could like put your arm through that cage and lose it real fast. Okay. But like it is double caged.
Okay.
Yeah.
So That is exciting. Okay, that's one of the traps.
Yeah, so that was, I mean, and I went on safari. I saw the Big Five on safari. Like, I did, that was so amazing. So that as an experience, as going to somewhere and experience something for a long time was great because there were so many things there. But my favorite city is Barcelona.
Love.
Mm-hmm.
Love. I love it too. But I don't, when you were talking about favorite vacation, I love all my vacations.
So you could also ask, where's your next vacation?
Okay.
Because this also, as a networking tool, because a lot of times people say to me, well, I meet somebody at an event, we have a great conversation, I don't have any way to follow up. And I'm like, well, you probably didn't have a dopamine-inducing conversation, because if you did, you would have you have learned many things about them and had reasons to follow up. So when I ask, where's your next great adventure? Where's your next vacation? Do you have a vacation planned? And they tell me, yeah, I'm going to the Galapagos Islands, or wherever they're going, even if they're just doing a staycation, what I do is I go back to my desk at night or the next morning and I look up fun things about where they're going or information.
Excellent.
And I say, it was so great meeting you. I'm so excited for your trip to wherever it is. When I got home, I couldn't stop thinking about it and I found this article or these tips or whatever and I just felt like I had to send them to you.
Love this.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that whether or not you want business from this person.
Exactly.
You're doing this with your heart.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know where business is going.
You have no idea
from.
Where business is going to come from.
All right, so now I'm going to reframe my answer to my favorite vacations were any with that our son was on.
Yeah.
Or my mom and dad.
See?
Those were the favorites. So I can't even pick one.
Yeah. And right now, you have all the feels. I can see it in your eyes. You have all the feels. And I did that. And so, like, we are sharing that. And, like, when you can do that. And so, I want people to walk away from this thinking, I can go into networking events and I can actually have human-centric conversations and I can make human connections. And it doesn't have to be questions like, how are you? What do you do? Woo, that traffic getting here, man, wasn't that bad?
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
All of that.
Okay. I love that you're saying this. Over at Bellmare, which is across the Goat Island Bridge here,
mm-hmm.
I'm walking into a fundraiser for breast cancer
mm-hmm.
with Anita Shreve.
Yeah.
I'm saying her name right.
Yeah.
And we both went to the same university. We
yes.
both went to Tufts.
Okay.
She's a little older. I'm not saying how old. She was captivating. But mm-hmm. as we're walking in, and I've got my umbrella up and I'm really happy walking
yeah.
in, the women are complaining
yeah.
about the weather.
Yeah.
And I looked at them and I said, hey, I didn't know them, so they probably don't like me. I don't care. We're going into a fundraiser for breast cancer. We're mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
Splash in this weather.
There's other things to
like,
worry
enjoy.
About. Yeah.
But you know, I know what you mean when somebody comes in and mm-hmm. they sit down. Oh my God, the traffic. Oh,
yeah.
This morning. I didn't sleep last night. That's so
yeah.
unattractive.
Yeah. Exactly.
But some people don't.
And that, again, that is you. When I said you can induce a dopamine spike in someone's brain, you can do the opposite. You can you can make dopamine crash in the person's brain. And by saying those things, negative things, or asking those questions, how are you, is the universally hated question because everybody says fine.
Right.
And the other universally hated question is, what do you do? Let me tell you, Gail, I love what I do. I could talk about it for hours. But when I'm at an event and somebody says, what do you do? I'm like, oh, God. Where am I going to start? What am I going to start answering this? How am I going to answer this question? You know, I would rather answer a million other questions and then have the person say to me, you're so interesting. What? We never even talked about what you do. What do you do? And then I'm like, oh, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I get paid to talk.
Yes, yes. I love that.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, we're going to go to break. And I don't even want to. We're going to go to a quick break. And again, thank you. We are welcoming, motivating, and high-energy speaker. Oh, gosh, you think Julie is high-energy enough? High-energy speaker, Julie Brown, DTJB.
Uh-huh.
All right, Gail, it's Leadership at All Levels with Gail Olofsson. Thanks for tuning in to Leadership at All Levels with Gail Olofsson.
And we have the pleasure of Julie Brown. Julie, we don't have enough time.
I know.
For our conversation.
I know.
So let's go to the next keynote that you're researching
mm-hmm.
right now, which is crucial because there are so many since COVID and even before that, so many people are working remotely.
Sure.
People are lonely
mm-hmm.
or they're loving it, both. Or you can be a little
you can be a little
probably.
Bit of both.
But one thing that I've noticed is people hesitate or they just don't think of
mm-hmm.
networking internally with
yep.
their colleagues.
Yeah.
We're all about the next sale, the next client,
yep.
the next job, we might be thinking in our head. So you're researching this.
Yeah.
So can you fill us in?
Yeah, so this came out of a study that I actually read in Harvard Business Review a little while ago that was actually talking about a couple of different things. It was talking about how many new hires and or people who are promoted within a company are deemed failures at the job within 18 months. And the numbers were staggering. It was up to 47% of people were deemed failing at the job.
47%?
Yeah, it was between like 24 and 47% of new hires and people transitioning into promotions were considered failures. And so I was like, why is this happening? People are hired with the skills. You aren't hired without the skills, or you aren't promoted unless you show that you can do that job. So what is happening? And the study showed that an often overlooked factor in people's success within a company is their effective building and use of internal networks. And internal networks serve a lot of different purposes. They help with understanding company culture, or they help with office politics, or they help with, you know, somebody saying your name for a promotion or a push project. But another thing is, there's a loneliness epidemic right now. The Surgeon Yes. General put out his report in May of this year about the loneliness epidemic. And so I dug into that a little bit further. And 68% of people are unhappy with the level of social connection they have with their coworkers. And 44% of people say they don't have a true friend within their office. Okay. And what we know is, through studies, what we know is that if you don't have a friend and if you are lonely, not being lonely in any sense of the word is like, it's like akin to smoking 15 cigarettes a day or drinking 6 alcoholic drinks a day. Now, if your employee was sitting at their desk smoking 15 butts a day and putting back 6 old fashions, you'd do something about it.
Yes, you would.
But we don't.
I'm picturing that image
yeah,
right now.
I know, but we don't look at people who are lonely or might be struggling with making connections in the office and think, I have to do something about this. So what I'm researching right now is the companies who actually include in their onboarding of new hires and or people who are transitioning, because they don't even have onboarding for most people who are getting promotions, how can we facilitate the building and maintaining of relationships across silos okay. within companies so that we can have people who are happy, successful, invested in the work, trust their coworkers, feel psychologically safe in the office to raise their hand and ask questions and raise red flags about things that could be going wrong with projects. I worked in construction for years. Raising your hand on a red flag is a huge thing for employee safety. So how can we do this? And so I'm building the framework so companies can have a series of steps to make sure that their employees are building and maintaining relationships within the office. Because it doesn't just affect the bottom line. The bottom line is it costs between 16 and 213% of a person's salary to replace a person.
Right.
So if we are, and also a survey showed that 60% of people in 2003 are considering leaving their job. The millennials are the largest workforce in that we have right now. They are the largest workforce, and on average, they spend 2.8 years at every job. So that employee turnover is hurting companies. It's hurting companies' bottom line, but it's also hurting the people that work in those offices because they're not building those relationships and they're not feeling safe enough to stay at, or it's not even just safe enough, but like, you know, respected enough or trusted enough
valued.
Or valued yes. or heard enough to stay at companies. And if we just had a culture of connection and relationship building and having each other's back and trust, we could mitigate a lot of the costs to companies for employee turnover.
Yeah, I love that. The culture of connection.
Mm-hmm.
The simple things like saying good morning.
Good morning, hello.
To their face.
Yes.
Like when you're in the office.
Yeah.
Or on Slack or on Zoom
yep.
or on something. Like just,
yep.
hey. Now, they make fun of me in our office because I always want to see our clients on Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Some days I Zoom all day. I'm probably the only person in the world who is not tired of Zoom yet.
Zoom fatigue.
I can go all day on Zoom because I love seeing people's faces.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important. But you know, Julie, one thing that is also, I don't know if you're going to research this as well, but I have found a lot of our success at Newport Restaurant Group, at Newport Boat Show, just success in life with speaking,
mm-hmm.
Is staying in touch with clients when they're not your client.
Exactly. Yeah.
Staying in touch with coworkers
yep.
when they're not your colleague anymore,
yep.
especially if they've been let go.
Yes,
because,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, let's think, Steve was let go.
Yeah.
Why was Steve let go? Pick up the phone and call
Steve.
Yeah,
don't be the rumor mill. Don't be the rumor mill. Yeah.
Pick up the phone. If you were Steve's strong acquaintance, pick up the phone. How can I help you? Can I help you find a job? Come in and sit with me on my LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So again, that's like a form of networking, like being a friend.
Yeah.
But when you really, really liked a client, why just in that you don't have a program anymore that you can work with each other on?
Yeah.
Stay friends.
You know, I always talk about internally. I have this, and we don't have time to get into it, but I have this thing in the book called the List Yourself Approach, which is it's sort of a self-rediscovery of like, who am I without the label of what I do for a profession? Because in America, we define ourselves by our professions. It's the first thing we ask kids when they're little, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's the first thing you're asked in college, what is your major? It's the first thing you're asked, you know, when you're outside of college at a networking event, what do you do? It's like defining yourself by this very small thing. And instead of understanding that there's a surface area you can increase with that you can contact people in that surface area. And so I like to ask my clients when they're like, well, we used to have this client, we haven't worked for them in 5 years ago. Well, what was the first concert they ever went to? What's their dog's name? What's their birthday? Do they play golf? And inevitably they're like, no, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I said, well, you don't know your clients. You have no reason to stay in touch except if you need something. So can you go through a process of rediscovering your past clients and just reaching out? And there's 5 words you can use. I always tell every audience there's 5 words you can use to reconnect with anybody. And those 5 words are, I was thinking about you. It works every time. And actually, I just read a study. Oh my God, I love studies. It could be a drinking game. studies show, take a drink, even if it's just coffee. The studies show that there is an unexpected happiness that comes from hearing from somebody you haven't heard from in a long time. And actually, the longer the distance between your connection, the increased happiness that reach out creates.
It's so true that when someone reaches out.
Yeah.
And you see that name. And you're like, they're thinking of me.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And so if anybody has clients and you're wondering how to stay connected, first just do that. Reach out to them and say, I was thinking about you. I was thinking about that project we worked on, that conversation we had, like whatever. I'm not reaching out because I need anything. I'm just reaching out because I missed working with you.
All right. So you can't make these things up.
No.
Today I'm coming back from the University of Rhode Island because I had to go over really early to do some things because I needed to get back to work on the boat show. So I went over really early. So at 8 o'clock when the computer lab opened up, I could be right there. Mm-hmm. I was locked out of my computer, a URI, and they couldn't fix it over the phone. More than you need to know. Are you bored yet in our conversation?
Dopamine is crashing.
Dopamine is crashing. So I'm coming over the bridge and I think of one former colleague and one former client, because the first time the bridge, I'm coming over and it was a yacht client and then my colleague, and I called both of them. One's in Michigan and one is in Florida, and I still have their cells, and I just called them and said, I'm laughing out loud coming over the bridge because I'm thinking about the time we first met at this restaurant in the rain and how we laughed from the beginning and continued laughing.
It's magical.
Then I called my colleague and said, I'm coming over the bridge and I can't believe what you said to our prospective client in that first meeting because we were both so young and it made us all laugh and it just connected us, but it really could have sabotaged us. They both called back. Yeah. I can't answer them till later today. I haven't even played the voicemails yet because I'll want to call them.
Yeah.
I know it's just like a coincidence that happened, but I love doing things like that when you think of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And don't you love
people? And then when you get on a call with them, get to know more about what have you been doing? What have you been doing since we last talked? Taking any trips? Like, how are your kids? Like, whatever. Find as much, like, start learning as much as possible. Have in your own brain a culture of curiosity. Like, I'm curious. I want to know as much as possible because that will always help you. It will always help you reconnect and stay connected.
Well, the other thing is we're both members of NSA, National Speakers Association. We're both on the board of NSA New England. Yep. I love it. I love our new president. I think it's going to be great. And I loved our old president and the one before. And I didn't go to Influence because I went on vacation with my parents to Quebec. And at my age, if you still have your parents, you genuflect.
Yeah.
So we did that and had a great week. But you were at Influence.
I was at Influence. Yes. Yeah, correct.
But I did go to Thrive. Absolutely loved it. And was so intrigued by Tony Chapman, just his delivery style. Mm-hmm. He talks about government, speaking for governments. So when he got done speaking, there was a great big long line to meet him. So I walked around, came back. He looks at my name badge and somehow, I don't know what it was. It must have said Newport. Or something. Newport, Rhode Island. My son is a chef in Rhode Island. I said, your son needs to come work for us. So we exchanged cards. His son not only followed up.
Yeah.
And I loved this. But it was like a really quick conversation with Seth. We would have never met if I didn't find him captivating on the stage because he was so helpful. He was giving versus gain. He was giving.
Yeah.
The son, though, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah.
After people get a job, a lot of times, again, this is networking, they don't tell you they got the job.
Yeah.
They don't tell you.
Yeah,
hey, Gail,
exactly.
Thanks for introducing me. By the way, I got the job.
Yeah.
So
it's the same as somebody makes a strategic introduction for you. If somebody makes a strategic introduction for you and you meet with that person, you go back to the original person and say, thank you so much. I met with Joe today. He is lovely. All the information you gave really helped us hit it off. Like, let them know.
Well, this young man who is a chef, he went to Johnson & Wales. He now works for our company. He already had a job. He had a job with one of our clients. Okay. And he wrote me the most beautiful thank you email.
Mm-hmm.
So the apple doesn't fall from the tree.
Yeah.
He's building connections.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't do that. They have a job and they forget.
I have a Johnson & Wales chef jacket.
Oh, how?
Networking.
Excuse me.
I had a friend who works at Johnson & Wales that he was a potential client of mine, and he was wonderful, and we're still friends. He has moved on from Johnson & Wales. But I went to go see him one day, and he took me to the Johnson & Wales restaurant for lunch, and then he gave me a chef jacket because he knew how into food and wine and everything I was, and I still wear that jacket all the time.
Oh, yeah. You should.
Yeah.
And do you know this, that how high your hat is up is how good a chef you are.
Really?
So I'm on with Frank Terranova. Now, I'm the opposite of you. I can't cook to save my life. Right? Crockpot.
Crockpots are great. Yes. Especially for ski season.
So I'm teaching the world for 5 days in a row how to make chowder in a pan. Like how to make chowder, a different chowder every day.
Okay.
Okay. I'm just sauteing olive oil and butter. Probably burnt it. So all of a sudden, they come over and they push my hat down on the break. So when they walk away, I pull my hat up. And on the next break, they push it back down. And they explained to me that the height of your hat is your culinary prowess.
Oh, interesting.
So that was not a very good introduction.
Yeah.
But we're almost done, and I have too many more questions.
No.
All right, you're not prepared for this one because it is not a networking one.
Okay.
What is one? Well, why did I say you're not prepared?
Well, maybe I'm prepared. How would you know, Gail?
Don't bring me to a networking event. What is one of the most valuable leadership lessons you have learned over the past year?
Well, it's interesting. When you're a solopreneur, you are everything. You are the leader. You are the team. You are everything. I think for me this year, the lesson I had to learn was I have to take my own medicine, meaning I'm constantly teaching people how to network and do business development and put themselves out there and follow up. And when you run a company and you do everything for that company, it can be easy to forget what you have to do to run your own company from a networking perspective. And I've had a couple of times where I've been really tired from running the company or traveling the country speaking. And I'm like, oh, I don't really want to go to that networking event. And I have to remind myself, I'm going to meet somebody at that networking event who could change my day. They could change my week, my month, my year, or my life.
Right.
And so I, even as a networking expert, somebody who stands on a stage and tells everybody this is what they have to do, I still have to remind myself to do it sometimes.
No, it's so impactful. We also did, you know, Ed Robinson from MSA.
No, I don't know Ed.
Well, we did a course with Ed in winter time. And he talked about making sure that you make your lists of clients you might not even ever work with again.
Yeah.
But just, and then share them. Share them with other speakers.
Right.
Be open.
Yep.
Like, what, say you speak on networking. I speak on leadership.
Yeah.
How do we share?
Yeah.
These kind of things. You speak on both. I speak on both.
Right.
It's all one.
Yeah.
What do you like best about what you do?
What I like best about what I do is when people reach out to me afterwards.
Yay.
And I'm sure you get this.
I see it on your LinkedIn. I see the organic comments.
Yeah. Who say that I did this and it worked. I used those five words and I reconnected with somebody I haven't talked to in 7 years. Like, I got a promotion because I spoke up and networked at work. You know, that is, I love what I do, but I love more that what I do changes other people's careers.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
What's one word that people use to describe you?
So the reason I know this answer is because I have so many testimonials from people that the one word people always use to describe me is energy.
Okay. What's the one word you'd use to describe you?
Probably energy. My husband will hate this, but I think I'm rather funny, and my husband doesn't think I'm funny. So I would love to say that my word is, oh, I'm funny, but my husband is like, please, you're not that as funny as you think you are.
You are so funny on those LinkedIns, and when I first met you at Pam's house, it was great. Okay, how do we get your book, a copy of your book, and how do we find you?
Yeah, so the book is on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And then a couple of ways to find me. My website is Julie Brown BD. So it stands for business development. So juliebrownbd.com. You can find a lot of information about me there. You can sign up for my newsletter, which comes out every Wednesday, which is hilarious. Or you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm Julie Brown BD on LinkedIn. But just please, if you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, just tell me you found me through Gail and through this show, because I get a lot of requests every day. And if I don't know where they're coming from, I don't always accept them.
Right. Well, when my students start
to LinkedIn, they have to just say the magic word, Gail.
Well, this has been so great today. And I'm going to add some words to you. I would say that you are caring, that you are organic, you are unselfish, and you are really funny. And motivating. So thank you so much, TTJB.
Yes, thanks for having me. Today.
And thank you, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
And thank you, Gail. And thank you, Julie.
Your someday is now. What are you waiting for?